Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Kevin Durant still in limbo. What's going on in Brooklyn? Which team has the best chance to make the biggest deal in NBA history? Plus, look who was in Hollywood last night. Will this soon be Kyrie's new home? Is a reunion with LeBron on the horizon? And did Jerry Jones and the Cowboys miss out on adding a superstar this offseason? Wait until you hear who wanted to team up with Dak and Micah and company. Good morning. I am Dan Graziano, in for Greeny, and thrilled to be co-hosting this morning with Jessica Mendoza.
I am so pumped to be here, Graz. We're not alone. We've got a party in the house right here. We've got Zach Lowe. We got Nick Friedell. We got Brian Windhorst. They're here to talk about Kevin Durant, of course. And we'll talk football with Jeff Darlington, Sam Acho, and Buster Olney, my boy, is here to talk baseball and the best rivalry in sports.
Which is exactly where we start, Jess. The Yankees and Red Sox at Fenway Park last night. Let's start in the top of the third. No score. Bases loaded. Two outs. Josh Donaldson at the plate. Donaldson hits a grand slam because apparently the Yankees do that every night now.
Three grand slams in the last two games. Josh Donaldson getting them on the board. They had a 16 spot yesterday. Doing it big here tonight to get it going for the Yanks.
Bottom of the third. Rafael Devers up to bat against Gerrit Cole. Something he does quite well. Devers going to send this one into deep right field.
Look at the location.
Yeah.
Talking about a slider at the ankles. I mean, when you own a pitcher, you own a pitcher. And Gerrit Cole, who has been one of the best, but Rafael Devers, five of his seven hits, Graz, have been home runs. Of course, come back up in the fifth inning. A little bit of repeat, almost the same location. They go downstairs, off speed, and Devers does it again. The deepest part out there to center field. Yeah, Rafael Devers, anyone he wants to face, it's definitely Gerrit Cole.
You'd think Cole would try something different, but you'd be wrong. That put the Red Sox, cut the Red Sox, the Yankees lead to 6-5. Bottom of the ninth, two out. Clay Holmes on for the save. Rob Refsnyder grounds out to end the game, and the Yankees win it 6-5.
The Yankees are the first team to 60 wins, and it's the fourth time in franchise history they've gotten to that mark this quickly. The three other times all resulted in World Series wins. This is the fastest any team has reached 60 since the 2001 Mariners. And that team won a major league record 116 games. I remember how that one went too, losing to the Yankees in the postseason. Let's bring in our good friend, Buster Olney. Let's get you to take the floor here. What were your biggest takeaways from the game last night?
Yes, the fact that the Yankees, again, reminded the baseball world they have a postseason-ready bullpen. You see what they did after Gerrit Cole left the game last night. Wandy Peralta throwing that great changeup. Michael King then following with that sweeping slider. And how about Clay Holmes? He's allowed an earned run in one of his last 36 outings. And think about this number, Jess. 142 batters faced this year, no home runs. That crazy sinker that he has, that's going to play in October. Yankees bullpen is unbelievable this year.
Well, it's got to be. You got to think about Gerrit Cole, though, especially against the Red Sox. On a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned should Yankees fans be with Gerrit Cole?
I think about a 7.5 and 8. Look, this is a concern. Because he has struggled against some of the better teams in the American League. You remember the postseason game last October. He didn't get through the third inning, allowing three runs, walking off. And then last night, look, you know, Gerrit Cole has been one of the most dominant pitchers in baseball. But to see that uncertainty on his face, he kind of threw up his hands after allowing that second home run to Rafael Devers. You don't want that in the postseason. He has to be the guy who's going to have swagger and lead them through October.
Absolutely. And when you flip the script, you look at the Red Sox. What's at stake for them in this series? They're 15 games behind now, New York, and a very loaded AL East.
Yeah, well, even a Stanford graduate would know 15 games behind. Forget it. It's over. They're not going to win the division. The Yankees are going to win the American League East this year. But seeding in the American League is going to be so important And so for the Red Sox, getting that top wild card seed is going to be absolutely paramount, in part because if they wind up playing the Blue Jays in that first round, that potentially could be in Toronto. You don't want to have the vaccination issue for the Red Sox. You don't want to play in Tampa Bay with all the cowbells. You don't want to play in Toronto with those crazy fans. You want to get that number one wild card seat. They could do it.
Yeah, and it's absolutely loaded, as you mentioned. So many great teams in the AL East. Well, that's it for the Yankees in New York, Roz. You got a lot of another big story with another New York team.
Yeah, this one in the NBA, Jess, where the ongoing question has been which team will make the trade for Kevin Durant. Been just a week, just over a week since Durant's trade request. And yesterday, his former teammate Draymond Green backed Durant's decision on his podcast. Listen to this.
If Kevin Durant says, I actually don't want to be here anymore, I want to go to somewhere else, why does it matter? Why does that make you weak? Why does that make him, you know, it means he's running from something? If someone leaves Google to go to Apple after 3 or 4 years, and then they leave Apple after 2 years to go to Tesla, and then they leave Tesla after 4 years to go to DocuSign, no one's going to say that person ran. Everyone's going to say that person did what was best for their career.
Yeah, obviously, I don't know who's saying otherwise, but Draymond thinks somebody is, or else he's listing potential sponsors for his podcast that he's hoping to lock in. Who knows? Brian Windhorst, what did you make of Draymond's comments on Kevin Durant?
Well, I always love hearing from Draymond Green, and he's completely over-the-top pro player, which is what he should be as a player. You know, if you want to stick with his analogy, you can leave Google to go to Apple or whatever, but it's hard to leave Google if you've got a four-year contract. And so that's a factor here. Is when you talk about perception, and we're talking about these players as businessmen, businessmen have consequences for breaking contracts. That's the way of the business world. And so if you want to talk about Kevin Durant as a businessman, he would have to stay in Brooklyn and fulfill that contract. As a talented person, as a talent player, he has the ability to force his way out of a contract. And that's the reality of what NBA is. It's not a normal business in any sense of the word. Ask the billionaires who buy teams and get frustrated about it. And now that's Joe Tsai, frustrated he's got to break up what he thought was a championship contender.
Dan, this is exactly why. What Wendy just described, the Warriors love Steph Curry so much.
Yeah.
Because as a businessman and as a guy who is all the talent in the world, he never wanted to go anywhere else. He was comfortable in his surroundings in the Bay. He wanted to make it work with the Warriors. He knew they would surround him with the talent to do it even after KD left. He knew and had faith in the coaching staff and the front office and ownership to pour all their resources into making it work. When you hear Steve Kerr and all the Warriors personnel sing the praises of Steph Curry, this is exactly why. They knew he was going to be there, and he never gave them a reason to think otherwise.
Sure, but that's the whole point here, right? Like, different people want different things, right? And Kevin Durant obviously wants something different than what he's got in Brooklyn, right?
I don't think anyone is actually mad at Kevin Durant.
I don't really know
what Draymond, God bless Draymond, I love him, I don't know what he's talking about, because Durant was the one who showed up and played when he was healthy. Kyrie took hiatuses for whatever reason, didn't get vaccinated, didn't play. Harden saw that and was like, I'm going to stop trying and quit on the team until I get my way out of here. Durant was the one playing 48 minutes overtime against the Bucks in the conference semifinals. He's the one that showed up. I don't think anyone begrudges him, really. Is there a sort of breaking contract issue around the league in terms of trade demands and trade requests? That's for the CBA negotiations going forward, which are going to be ugly. But Durant was the one who gave everything he had.
All right, fine. So we've put the Draymond stuff to bed, for now at least, until he comments on your comments on Harden and Kyrie. We'll see what he has to say about that. But Brian, where do things stand here with this potential trade for Durant? What's the market looking like?
We have a pretty gigantic gulf between what the Nets value of Kevin Durant is and what the market is willing to pay. And again, this requires some nuance, and I know that this potentially will be taken out of that context, but Kevin Durant is obviously a very valuable player. Nobody doubts that this guy is still in his prime years as an MVP-level candidate who can completely swing a team from pretender to contender with his presence. However, the market does not want to pay a super premium price for him, because if you trade away all of these top assets on your team to get him, he becomes less valuable to you. And that gulf is why we are in a stalemate right now and could have one for a while.
Yeah, and if it's going to be a while, we have to find a way to fill the time. So we've created a game called Make Me a Trade. I want to know what these deals are actually going to look like, right? So, Zach, tell me what Phoenix is apparently on Kevin Durant's wish list. Tell me what that deal would look like.
Phoenix isn't only on the wish list. I'm told it's by far number one on the wish list. So here's a trade right here. Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Dario Saric for filler. Four firsts, three swaps. A couple things. You'll notice DeAndre Ayton's name is not there. He was the first name that kind of came up. I'm not sure the Nets are super into DeAndre Ayton. There are three team trade scenarios where he goes other places for other assets that get built into this. That's going to start happening or more be in play this weekend when the Malcolm Brogdon trade becomes official and he and the Pacers have potential cap room to get in the game with DeAndre Ayton. That trade, look, would the Suns haggle over protections and how many picks? Sure. Is that the sexiest trade for the Nets? Not really. When you look at what the Wolves got for Rudy Gobert, that's not going to light the Nets front offices on fire. But that might be the floor for what other teams are going to have to beat. And it's not awesome. But look, the Gobert trade has warped expectations. Like, you just, from one team, you just can't get more than four, six, whatever draft picks. That's an okay return. It's not great, though.
I got to say real quick.
We'll see if Zach
right now.
Brian's got something to say.
I just want to point something out real quick. What Zach just described is a trade that makes sense from a value standpoint. But today, right now, I don't think the Suns are offering that. They're not offering four picks and three swaps. And that is why we're talking about the gap. Even that trade isn't that great. And I don't even think the Suns are there yet, because who else is offering four picks right now? Nobody.
It just, like I said, they would haggle over the number of picks, over the protections on the picks for sure.
Yeah, Wendy, we're just making this up. That's what we're doing here, because we're trying to fill the time. We'll see if Zach can make any sexier deals as the show moves along.
Coming up, we're talking football. Did Jerry Jones and the Cowboys miss out on adding a superstar this offseason? Wait until you hear who wanted to team up with Dak, Micah, and company. And he's already unretired once. Could Rob Gronkowski do it again? And does Tom Brady need him to have any chance at ring number 8?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up. Meanwhile, on planet Earth, San Francisco 49ers offensive lineman Trent Williams receives a 99 Madden rating. That's the first offensive lineman to receive that rating since 2007. Acho, does he deserve it?
Man, he deserves 100. And if there was extra credit, give him 101. This dude is the best lineman, probably the best player in football. He's a mauler. He's a beast. He's a monster. Nobody wants to go against him.
All right, let's play a game we like to call Reasonable Expectations. Jeff, what are reasonable expectations for Tom Brady?
Look, I mean, I know this sounds ridiculous. Reasonable expectations are an MVP season and a potential Super Bowl. He's coming off a year in which he threw a career high in yards. He led the NFL in touchdowns. If you didn't know his age, and I understand that's a pretty big if, we would not be wondering if Tom Brady is anything other than an MVP candidate. So yet again, yes, MVP candidacy for Tom Brady.
All right, Sam, what you got? What are reasonable expectations for Justin Fields?
It's reasonable to see massive improvement. Last year, Justin Fields led the NFL in passer rating on design rollouts. He only rolled out 19 times. Now we have a better offensive coordinator who's going to get him rolling out more. Last year, Justin Fields also led the NFL in runs over 10 yards. And so we are going to see him get better, even though the Chicago Bears are in a rebuild and are fielding the least expensive offense in the NFL.
All right, Jeff, let's go back to you. What are reasonable expectations for the Cowboys?
Well, reasonable expectations are, as long as the defense plays really well, this can be a team that once again wins the division. I mean, can they put up the same 12 wins? It's always tricky. That's a lot to ask, but they should be there. Reasonable expectations are that they get back to a wild card game. Anything beyond that should be a success story and one that ultimately sees the Cowboys in postseason contention.
All right, speaking of the Cowboys, Von Miller, who signed with Buffalo, had this to say. I told them I was ready to come to the Cowboys. Miller told Dan Pompey of Athletic, I would have taken less to go to Dallas because it's Dallas, but I wouldn't take that much less. Remember, Miller is from DeSoto, Texas, and played his college ball at Texas A&M. Sam, did the Cowboys make a mistake by not signing Von Miller?
Jess, is that even a question? Yes, of course the Cowboys made a mistake by not signing Von Miller. We're talking about Von Miller, not just his outstanding play during the season, but what the Cowboys need is him in the playoffs. Von Miller last year had 4 sacks in the playoffs and a forced fumble. Von Miller in the Super Bowl, which and it also resulted in a Super Bowl. In the Super Bowl year the year before, because he got 2 of them, Von Miller had 5.5 sacks and 2.5 in the AFC Championship game. What the Cowboys need, yes, are pass rushers to go along with DeMarcus Lawrence and with Micah Parsons since you lost Randy Gregory. But even more important than that, you need that playoff pedigree. We all saw what happened with the Cowboys last year in the playoffs, the way that they lost. Von Miller to the Cowboys being from Dallas. I've seen him at North Park Mall all the time in Dallas from DeSoto. Like, it makes too much sense to not make that move.
No brainer indeed, Jeff. Is the Cowboys defense good enough to actually make a deep playoff run this season?
It is. And I hear Sam, and it makes a lot more sense when he gives that convincing argument. But the other side of this is, yes, this already is a top 10 defense in the NFL. The question, of course, is can you replicate the amount of takeaways that they had last season? I don't know that you can expect to have 27 interceptions every year. Those things, as defensive coordinators say all the time, come in bunches. If they can continue to replicate that, yeah, absolutely. It might be a top 5 defense, but that's the big question. Can they supplement it with pass rush? And maybe that's why Von Miller would have been such a good addition here.
All right, guys, I got to ask you.
Jeff, if I could add real quickly, yes, the Cowboys already have a top defense, but here's the great thing. The LA Rams did as well and when they added Von Miller last year. And they also added Odell Beckham Jr.
That's a good point.
Teams keep on adding even better pieces to go and win a Super Bowl. And so the Cowboys, yes, they have a top defense and they're getting better. I'm excited about their defense. But if you want to go win a Super Bowl, not just win your division or make the playoffs, go add those elite pieces, especially when they would be willing to take a discount to come to your team.
Yeah, and it starts with your leadership.
Start to disagree.
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, Graz, I got to ask you too. I mean, as Mike McCarthy enters year three, what are your expectations for him?
Look, I agree with these guys about the, you know, the defense being super important for Dallas, but I it's the first time in a while I can remember I go into a season concerned about their offense because the offensive line is showing a little bit of age, right? They lose Amari Cooper. Michael Gallup is coming off an injury. I think the defense is going to have to carry this team, especially through the early part of the season. I know their top line offensive numbers were good last year, but they ran up a lot of scores against division teams, and they're going to have a tougher out-of-division schedule.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it's I do think Mike McCarthy, though, it starts with him. And, you know, Sam, I'm going to give you the final word here. Is currently constructed, are the Cowboys a legit Super Bowl contender?
No, I'll just keep it real simple. No, they're not. They still need some pieces, just like we've seen the great teams add pieces, whether it's a receiver or somebody. They need help to get to the Super Bowl.
All right, let's take it from Dallas to Tampa, where less than 3 weeks ago, tight end Rob Gronkowski announced his retirement from the NFL. His former Tampa teammate, Mike Evans, is still holding out hope that we might see Gronk back on the field at some point. Here's what Evans had to say about it. He said, quote, "I hope he comes back. With Tom and Gronk, you never know. I wouldn't be mad if he came back. I'd actually be really excited if he came back, but I feel like he's done." It took us on a journey there. That was fun. He plays the tight end position. He plays at max effort. Takes a pretty big beating. I've seen his body after some of them games, and I understand why. Jeff Darlington, you are close to the situation there in Tampa. What can you tell us about Gronk's football future, if there even is one?
I totally understand why he retired. It alleviates all the questions that were surrounding both the Bucs and him. But I also understand that when his body is right, he feels like he can get ready for football pretty fast. So I'm not going to say that he's not coming back. I think that is very possible mid-season. If the Bucs need him, that he'll make that return.
Zacho, are the Bucs going to need him in order to reach their full potential?
They're either going to need him, or they're going to need Chris Godwin to get healthy soon, or Kate Otten, the fourth round pick they drafted, to really pick up the playbook. Gronkowski and Tom Brady, that connection has been going on for a very, very long time. Gronk's first touchdown was a red zone catch from Tom Brady. And so the red zone opportunities will be missed. Chris Godwin, those receptions, because he's still injured, that'll be missed. And so you definitely need Gronkowski or, like I said, Godwin to get healthy.
All right, Dan, we've heard this a bunch, and Tom Brady's going to play at age 45 this season. Does he have enough weapons around him to reach another Super Bowl?
I think he does. Look, I think Gronk was kind of a luxury item and a Brady-specific one, but Mike Evans is as one of the great red zone targets in the entire game, and this will be their third year together. They add Russell Gage. They still have Cameron Brate at tight end, and I think they're still combing the tight end market or what's left of that. So I think there are worse bets to make than Brady will make it work.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about that. So when we come back, though, on Get Up, we are going to talk basketball again. Could Kevin Durant actually end up teaming up in New Orleans with Zion Williamson? We are cooking up blockbuster trades for KD as the show rolls along. Plus, check out who was in Hollywood last night. Will that soon be Kyrie's new home? Is a reunion with LeBron on the horizon? We will get into that when we come back.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Zach Lowe is back with us, and it's time for Like or Don't Like. All right, Zach, Pelicans sign Zion Williamson to a deal that could be worth $231 million. Like or don't like?
Like, what's not to like? A small market team gets an all-NBA level player, the greatest paint scorer since Shaq. Yeah, he's had injury issues. They'll deal with that, but you have to do this. Like, all the way.
All right, Zach, how about this one? Jalen Brunson signs with the Knicks for $104 million. Like or don't like?
I kind of like it in the way you like a bland turkey sandwich for lunch. Like, it gets the job done. It's not the greatest
do you
option.
Like that,
but you, but,
you
get, but it gets you moving forward with your day. The real move is what's next for the Knicks. They're capped out. They still have a lot of picks. We'll see. I mean, this is fine.
All right. Lastly, Kevin Durant's best fit is with the Phoenix Suns. Like or don't like?
I'm going to go don't like, because if I have to trade everything and all my picks and all I have left is Durant, Chris Paul, and Devin Booker, that's a great trio, but the age of CP and Durant makes me nervous for what happens with those picks. I think other teams that are off his list, Toronto, New Orleans, are sort of smoother basketball fits, have more left in the cupboard after a KD trade, but what he wants is going to be important here. So I'll go tentative dislike. Not that bad.
Tentative. That's like a bland sandwich, I think. All right, let's bring in Nick Friedell. Let's get the party going. Nick, come on in. Phoenix is one of few teams on Kevin Durant's wish list. Let's go through the top four destinations for Durant. Let's have some fun with this. Let's begin with number four.
Jess, first of all, I'm Sean Marks, and I'm so depressed between snack proposals and my list. I'm walking into work every day going, this is Groundhog Day. I'm miserable.
Yeah.
But with that in mind, let's go to the list. We're going to start in Toronto. I don't know if they're going to add Scotty Barnes. If they add Scotty Barnes, now we're talking. If they don't, I don't see much traction, because Scotty Barnes, Siakam, and some picks, Toronto doesn't have enough. Fred VanVleet and KD pick and pops are fun, and Drake can get excited for a few regular season games, but it's not enough to win. Let's go to number three, the Golden State Warriors. Just take this from me, getting back together after the breakup, it doesn't always work so well.
Yeah. I think there's a whole lot more there,
but I would not venture down this road if I'm the Warriors or KD.
Okay.
That relationship had run its course. There's a lot of respect with Steph still. They know each other. But if you're the Warriors, Sean Marks is asking for Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole, Moses Moody, Jonathan Kuminga, a whole bunch of picks.
That's
you're
it?
Gutting all the depth
that
just got you the title. Okay, so that is a big problem. Number two, the odds-on favorite right now still, the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
But the issue is, Zach just said, Bridges, Cam Johnson, and a boatload of picks and swaps. No, thank you. Sean Marks is saying, I want Devin Booker. The Suns are saying, no chance. From a basketball standpoint, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, KD, they can win. But Phoenix has to get another team involved.
Yes.
I don't know who it's going to be, but they have to find out what Brooklyn wants and make that happen. And
number one.
And not just because if they're going to move me, I want to be right here, the Miami Heat. This absolutely works. Jimmy Butler is there. Kyle Lowry is there. They have a connection based on their Olympic experience. Just Pat Riley is an absolute wizard when it comes to filling up the roster with guys that are on lower salaries who you wouldn't think could play big roles, guys like Max Strus. The issue for Miami is you don't want to move Bam Adebayo. If you're Brooklyn, in order to get Bam Adebayo, you've got to move Ben Simmons. There are a lot of moving pieces. But from a basketball standpoint, this is the place for Kevin Durant. He would fit. He would enjoy it on South Beach.
and it would be a whole lot of fun to watch.
This is the place for Nick Friedell is what it sounds like. Headed down to Miami, I'm sure, would be ideal. All right, let's get Zach Lowe back in here. I was listening to your podcast this week. Small plug for that. And
hey, I'll take it.
I know there's a team not on this list that you're high on for Kevin Durant, a possibility.
Yeah, first of all, the Heat.
Gotta be. Jimmy and KD.
You got a Bam problem, though. I got to have Bam on the Heat if I'm trading for Kevin Durant.
Riley is a wizard. He'll find a way.
You never underestimate the Heat. But how do you not have the New Orleans Pelicans on your list? They have a million draft picks, all their own picks, plus a Lakers pick, plus a Bucks pick, tons of young players, and a ready-made centerpiece in Brandon Ingram. And as Wendy noted earlier, the market right now is not as frothy as the Nets had hoped. So if I'm giving you Brandon Ingram, maybe I don't have to give you all the boatload of picks, all the boatload of young players. I can keep Herb Jones. I can keep Dyson Daniels, maybe. Whatever young guys you pick, that's a team I'm looking at. That's a hard decision. Brandon Ingram is really good. He's 10 years younger than KD. He is like kind of a young KD, not as good as KD was at that age. That's one I would lose a lot of sleep over if I were running the Pelicans, because I'd be very, very tempted. And there is some risk involved when you trade a player that good.
Here's the problem, though. Kevin and Zion together.
That's a problem?
No. It could work, but injury-wise, I would lose even more sleep on the possible pairing, because
fair.
We don't know what Zion's going to be, even though he signed that deal. And Jess, when you have Kevin going into his age 34 year with all the injury concerns he's dealt with, you'd much rather have Ingram to build with as opposed to Zion in a guy who remains across the league a huge question.
Well, you can bet New Orleans will try without including Brandon Ingram. I just don't think they have enough, even if you add up like six of their young guys, just in terms of salary.
Okay.
And again,
right.
That's why Sean Marks is crying.
Okay.
Listening to this whole thing going, oh, not again. It's Groundhog Day. It's bad.
Yeah, all right. So those are potential destinations for KD. How about Kyrie Irving? What do you got, Gross?
Oh, sure. Give me the tough one. Look, Kyrie was in attendance at the LA Sparks game last night, and so this led to obvious speculation, because Kyrie's, you know, been rumored to be going to the Lakers for the last couple of weeks. He obviously, their Nets are talking about trading him, and LA seems to be the most interested team based on everything our very knowledgeable basketball people have told us. So let's bring those knowledgeable basketball people back in to talk about this. Brian Windhorst, what do you make of Kyrie being at the Sparks game?
Well, first off, I love the new Zach Lowe conceit of comparing transactions to lunch orders.
Yes,
and I love it.
Everybody loves sandwiches,
if we're
going
to compare, yes, well, I mean, the Nets would love to get our beautiful charcuterie board and champagne for Kyrie Irving, but I think we're headed closer to Spam and apple juice, to be honest with you.
Hey, apple juice is good.
The reality, the reality is that the market for Kyrie Irving is very narrow. And it's not just narrow. I mean, again, when I talk about the market, I'm not talking about the player's talent. This is a question about the market. Kyrie is an extremely talented player, but at $36 million with 1 year on his contract, it is hard to find teams that have the construction to offer who are going to accept the risk. And you can spend 5 minutes or you can spend 5 hours looking at it, and you're going to come down to one answer. The only team is the Los Angeles Lakers. And all they have to offer, any trade with the Lakers and Nets for Kyrie Irving, has got to have Russell Westbrook in it. It just gotta. And he makes $11 million more. And at this point, when they both play, he is a downgrade of talent. And that $11 million more for a downgrade in talent means the deal gets more complex. And that's where you run into roadblocks. And so I think this is eventually going to happen, but I think it's going to be a fight along the way.
All right. Well, what do we make, though, of, I mean, like, is he in L.A. to try and, like, say, hey, look at me, I'm in L.A.? Wouldn't this be great? Is that, you reading it that way?
Absolutely. Anybody who saw, Dan, Kyrie walk on the floor in Brooklyn in early March and sit courtside when all the rules were starting to change, but he still couldn't play because he hadn't taken the vaccination shot. That was all for attention. He knew that the cameras would be on him. He's walking across the floor, waving at everybody, shaking hands. They showed him on the video board. There wasn't much of a response in the moment. But that is why this is happening. He wants everybody to see that he's there, see that he's in LA. Is it going to work? We'll see. But I'm with Brian, Zach. When you think about where Kyrie is eventually going to land, It doesn't feel like there are any other spots right now, and the Nets are just hoping that somebody comes in much later.
You mean there's not a ton of demand for a guy who never plays? I mean, I can't believe it. But look, Wendy mentioned the $11 million salary difference between Russ and Kyrie. That makes a huge difference to the Nets if they acquire someone in the Durant deal that's signed and traded to them, because then they're subject to a hard cap. It's very complicated. But look, if I'm the Nets, this is no longer about the talent or the fit. It's about you want Kyrie Irving in L.A. because you know you can't win the title as presently constructed. You give me two draft picks, both the ones you can trade, both the ones that are available to trade, 2027 and 2029. Otherwise, no deal. I'm just making a deal for the picks. Everything else is just collateral damage. Give me the picks. We're transitioning to our next phrase. I think that's a deal that makes sense for both teams.
And Dan, if you're Brooklyn and you've already lived through last year where you weren't sure if he was going to show up or not and then he couldn't play at home because he didn't take the shot, what do you care if he starts the season playing or not? You say, we will hold this out, we will play it out until we get what we want from the Lakers, because you don't care if he's really going to be there or not, because you know his future's not with you.
You don't care. And also, I do think the longer this goes, there are going to be one or two teams around the league who start saying, should we maybe dive in? Like, it's training camps coming up, we need a point guard. Like, should we maybe take a look at it? That helps the Nets.
Yeah. No doubt. Wendy, what do you think? Timing-wise, is there a chance that Kyrie gets traded before Durant does?
Yeah, look, if you don't like your options in the NBA, the best thing you can do is wait. The Nets don't like their options, and so they're going to wait. And I tend to agree with Zach. There probably could be another Kyrie suitor emerges, especially if we get into the season and there's injuries. But you're not going to get past the $36 million. I know that we can construct trades and make it easy, but when you actually have to do it as teams, that $36 million is hard to get to where you don't harm your roster. And that is it's a bar for the Durant trade, it's a bar for the Kyrie trade, and it's a factor for the Nets as they try to assemble a team this year and going forward.
Yep, easy for us to make the deals when we don't have to write the
check. Sean Marks just hit his head against the desk.
Oh, poor, don't do this to
Sean Marks is croaking watching this whole thing.
We're going to keep doing
this
though,
life.
Because it's fun. Time now, though, to get up and go. Top NBA draft pick Paolo Banchero made his summer league debut last night in Las Vegas. It was real good. Banchero had 17 points and 6 assists as the Magic defeated the Rockets 91-77. At Wimbledon, there will be just one semifinal match today after Rafael Nadal withdrew because of a torn abdominal muscle. Nick Kyrgios will face the winner of the match between Novak Djokovic and Cameron Norrie in the final. Meanwhile, there was a surprise at the top of the NHL draft. In front of their home fans, the Canadiens took Slovakian winger Juraj Slafkovský with the top pick. Center Shane Wright, who many thought would go number one, slid all the way to 4, where he was picked by Seattle. And on to soccer, the U.S. women's national team has booked a spot in the 2023 World Cup. Sophia Smith scored twice as Team USA beat Jamaica 5-0 in the CONCACAF W Championship in Monterrey, Mexico. Speaking of soccer, MLS's Heineken Rivalry Week kicks off tonight at 7:30 Eastern with the Philadelphia Union hosting DC United. Then it's El Trafico with the Galaxy taking on LAFC and international icons Gareth Bale and Giorgio Chiellini making their MLS debuts. Chiellini, excuse me. Both matches are on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app.
All right, coming up with Tyreek Hill in Miami, does Patrick Mahomes have enough weapons to get the Chiefs back to the Super Bowl? Or is their streak of division championships in jeopardy? We'll discuss next.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
NFL training camp's going to be here before you know it, so let's roll through some camp storylines. Sam Acho, who's going to win the Steelers quarterback battle?
Mitch Trubisky is going to win this quarterback battle, not only because of his experience, but because of Matt Canada's offense. Matt Canada, the offensive coordinator, loves rollouts. He loves getting quarterbacks out of the pocket. Obviously, didn't see that a lot last year with Big Ben, but those skill sets that Mitch Trubisky has fit right into this offense. That's why he will win the starting position, because he has the skill set and the experience.
Jeff Darlington, will Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson get his contract extension?
I'm going to say no, not before the start of the season. And I would not be surprised if it ultimately happens, but this is still the most unique contract negotiation between a team and a franchise player that I have ever covered. So I don't think that Lamar has urgency on this, oddly enough. I think ultimately he plays out the deal and gets the monster contract after the season. Crazy as it sounds, I think it could happen.
I'm watching what's going on in Kansas City with the Chiefs and wondering, does Patrick Mahomes have enough weapons without Tyreek Hill to still win that division? Look, I mean, we've never seen him play without Tyreek Hill for a season. Obviously, we know Tyreek Hill's a high-impact guy. Personally, I believe in Mahomes and in Andy Reid to figure it out. But I wonder if we're going to have a similar situation we had with the Chiefs last year, where they take a little while to get the offense going at the start of the season. Definitely worth watching as they open up training camp here in a couple of weeks. I want to talk to you guys about this. Jeff, the Chiefs have won the division now 6 years in a row. Do you expect they'll do it again this year?
I do. I subscribe to the philosophy that to be the champs, you got to beat the champs. And I understand that this division has come a very long way and continues to improve. But I have too much faith in Patrick Mahomes. He is otherworldly. He is the best quarterback on the planet, in my humble opinion. And I think that ultimately they will once again win the division and once again make a very deep postseason run.
Unassailable logic, right, Sacho? You have to agree.
I completely disagree. Of course, to be the champ, you gotta beat the champs. But this is how you go about beating the champs. You play the champs. And oh, by the way, they beat the champs last year in the regular season, and then they lost to the champs, right, one time in overtime. So, like, they've already beat the champs in the regular season, but more than that, they've gotten better, right? So, obviously, you got Joey Bosa,
logic.
But you go and get Khalil Mack, you go and get J.C. Jackson, you re-sign Mike Williams. Like, this offense is already stellar with Justin Herbert, but the defense that was the weak point has gotten significantly better. And so, I think with that significant improvement, along with your head coach getting more experience in coaching, I think that we will see the L.A. Chargers win the division this year.
Chargers were right on the cusp last year, couldn't get in. Raiders did get in. Broncos added Russell Wilson. Jeff, do you buy the Chargers as the top challenger to the Chiefs?
See, I think the Raiders could also be the challenger. I think they're all trying to climb that tree to get to the top of it. Yes, I think the Chargers are really good. Davante Adams and Derek Carr is awesome, but they're still not the Chiefs. They still don't have Patrick Mahomes. And they're still not the Chiefs. Not the Chiefs. Sorry, Sacho, you're wrong.
Will be a fun division to follow for sure. Plenty more time to discuss this. Jess, what's going on in college football?
All right. In college football, where USC and UCLA's move to the Big Ten, I'm biased, has sent shockwaves through college football. USC and UCLA are leaving the Pac-12 and are set to join the Big Ten at the start of the 2024 season. Heather Dinich gets up with us for more. Heather, what is the latest in realignment talks on the heels of USC and UCLA's move to the Big Ten?
Well, Jess, a lot of it is going on between the Pac-12 and the Big 12. Multiple sources have said that Big 12 presidents and chancellors want to be aggressive in adding some more schools. The reality is that right now, every university president and athletic director is trying to figure out what the most lucrative option is for themselves. There are also conversations ongoing between Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliavkoff and ACC Commissioner Jim Phillips to see if they could figure out some sort of a partnership to help beef up what they have going on. The one thing I have been told from multiple sources is that the Big Ten feels no immediate pressure or really interest to add any more teams to its leagues right now. They're more in sort of an evaluation mode. But as one person told me, everyone is talking, nobody's saying anything.
Yeah, well, and you say they don't feel that pressure, but when it comes to Notre Dame, it might be a different story. How do they factor into all of this?
That is true. They are, as one source told ESPN, the golden goose that's out there. And the Irish are in high demand. They don't have to do anything, though. They're sitting pretty. They're comfortable with their independence right now. I spoke to Notre Dame athletic director Jack Swarbrick. He told me they are not feeling any sense of urgency to make any major decisions and that they're content to see what happens and let the landscape settle for a little bit. But I can tell you, in speaking to athletic directors and some university presidents from coast to coast, everyone is watching and waiting to see what the Irish want to do, because that is a domino that could certainly impact what other people try to do and other moves that might be made.
Everything we see, everything we're talking about, it really relates to college football. That's at the forefront. But what about the other sports? I'm a softball player. I went to Stanford. I mean, the Pac-12, this is all near and dear to my heart. When you think about women's sports, how does this factor in moving forward?
Well, I had a very good conversation with Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith before this news broke, and we have talked before about football operating under the umbrella of the college football playoff. And I asked him that question, well, what does that mean for the other sports? And he said that in this vision that he has presented to athletic directors across the country, the other sports would continue to operate under the NCAA. Same championships run, same format and everything. And his point was, we need to protect college football because it is such a revenue source for those other sports. So look, I know everybody's worried about what's going to happen, but I do think that these athletic directors truly care about these other sports. You know, you look at the Pac-12 and the Olympic sports and what success they have, that's not just going to disappear. They do have to find a way to protect it. I think my question right now is more so not what happens to softball, what happens to Stanford? What happens to Stanford? What happens to Cal? Can the Pac-12 keep those 10 schools at the table right now? They're going to, after their media rights agreements right now, but we'll find out whether or not it's disingenuous. But that's the whole purpose of them getting the green light to go see what kind of TV deals they can get with their TV partners right now with those 10 schools at the table.
Well, and that's the big one for me. It's the money. And that's when it does trickle to all the sports and ultimately the facilities. And now we're seeing with NIL. And so when we talk about women's sports, when we talk about Stanford, Cal, all the other Pac-12 teams, it comes down to getting bigger TV rights deals and ultimately more money. I completely agree. Heather, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
This weekend, we got the WNBA All-Star Weekend in Chicago. Tomorrow on ESPN, we have the three-point contest and skills challenge at 3 Eastern. And on Sunday, the 18th annual All-Star Game is on ABC at 1 Eastern. Both are also available on the ESPN app, so you can watch anywhere. Lots more on Get Up this morning. When we come back, did you hear what Draymond Green had to say about Kevin Durant wanting out of Brooklyn? Is he right? We'll discuss the latest episode of Draymond's podcast when we come back.